Welcome to Destination Church Belfast's weekly podcast. For more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also join us every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at Mossley Pavilion. Now for the message.
How are we all? Are we doing okay? Surviving? Just about? How did we get on with Nehemiah? Do you feel like you're getting to know him a little bit? And radio silence. You know, every week it feels like you make a little bit of progress and there's a wee bit of interaction, and then you come back the next week and everybody's like, okay. Right. Let me bang the drum once more about reaching. Continue want to point you towards the people that are in your life. And for those of you that are inviting and bringing people, great job. Lovely to see you. But just let's not make it bigger than it needs to be. We've got podcasts. We've got small groups. We've got church. People can only say no. They can only say no so long. What did God say? Even from the woman's persistence, kept going and kept going, that eventually people were like, for dear sake, just to get you to shut up, I'll come to church. So please continue to be reaching out and inviting people in. We had at our Kingdom Streets yesterday morning. It was pretty much profoundly encouraging, just the openness that was present. So we don't know what that's onto. All we know is that we're about growing a forest, not just a garden, so it takes time. And as Claire said, we have baptism, the first baptism next Sunday. Yay! Baptism is a sign that you already are a believer. So we have, it's really, I suppose, three stances. One is that if you were baptized as an infant in the more traditional church and you feel that there's fruit in your life, and it's obvious that there's fruit in your life and you're good, no problem. If you were baptized as an infant, you kind of feel like you missed out on the experience of being baptized as an adult, come and chat with me. We would love to baptize you. And if you have come to faith as an adult and weren't baptized before, then it would be wonderful to baptize you as well. And it's a really exciting day, and it's one of those specials, and it should be a good laugh together, and we'll maybe even have some cheesecake at the back. I have to get some cheesecake now. Have to be integrous, don't we? So please be inviting people. If you find on the Saturday night at 11 o'clock at night, you think, I really need to, I wonder if I should do this, send me a message, all right? And we'll get a conversation. If you're hemming and hand, bring your shorts and a t-shirt. But just leave it so that if it's something that you want to do, I want to get a conversation with you, because obviously I'm responsible to check that this is the good and the right thing to be doing. So just have a conversation with me. I'm not that scary, am I? No, I'm really not, actually. I mean, really? I'm the kind of guy that you would just come to and have a chat with. Isn't that right? Yes? It's all good? Mostly, Claire says. Okay, so let's move swiftly on. I want to recap a little bit from last week. And in small group, what I would normally ask on a Wednesday night, not that Wednesday's better than Thursday, but it might be, just we would always ask, what's the one thing that you took away? What is it that you remembered from church on Sunday? So I want to encourage you to do that. What's the thing that was a terrible clap. That wasn't much better. What was the clap that hit you from the message? So last week was begin where you are. A seed of a thought is enough. And thoughts translate into words and actions. And then words and actions translate into thoughts from other people. Do we get that? So I have a thought. I turn it into an action. Then that gives opportunity for everybody else to have that then turned back into a thought within themselves. And on it goes, which is how it all goes viral. And in the book of Nehemiah, a lot of the names are very, very symbolic. So the first verse is, these are the words of Nehemiah, which means God comforts, which is what we're going to look at today. The son of Hakaliah, which is wait for God or have patience. So I made the point, patience has a son and it's called comfort. And Nehemiah took his pain to God. Claire already mentioned this a little bit in the announcements. He was brave enough to feel the pain that he was experiencing, and he knew where to take it. And when we do that, God's able to translate our pain into provision, which is provision, which is for the vision. And then there's potential positive power in the bad news. If it remains just as bad news and woundedness and unresolved pain, then it doesn't actually go anywhere. And we've got to be bold. If there's one thing we can learn from the start of Nehemiah, we have got to be bold. We've got to expect more and not less. You are not a beggar in the streets. You don't come to God. If God lives within you, you're a son or a daughter. So you come to him like he's a? Do you really? Do you? Like, let's be honest. Do we really? Some of us do, don't we? But do we really? Do we more approach him as? Oh, holiness, God and Father of man. Can we nearly get into the chant and then finish it off? Amen. Clean ourselves up. Make sure we're all pristine. Check ourselves out. I couldn't tell you how many conversations I have when people say, I can't come to this because I need to sort this out. And I'm going, you need to come to church to sort yourself out. So we got to approach him as the daddy that he actually is and say, can I have, I need this. Would you give this to me? Could you help me with this? I don't understand this. I'm hurting here. I've been hurt by that word, that circumstance. I don't get it. Feels like we don't have enough. We got to be honest and approach him as if he's the daddy that he actually is. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Any need in the room? Where are you going to go? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, Ephesians 3:20. It's obedience. It's about fear in God. It's not about fear in men, not about the thoughts of others, opinions of others. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Comments, accusations, experience. Oh, I did that before and it didn't work out well. Calculations. Well, I only have this much and if I only have only this much and God's asking me to do this much, how's this going to work out? Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Proverbs 29:25. And from that first chapter, men of power will yield to the man of God who is not afraid of them. Nehemiah, it says, was overwhelmed with fear. I'm sure everybody in this room at some point has been overwhelmed with fear. And surprisingly, he didn't take that as an indication that God wasn't present in what he was asking him to do. Whereas I've got the t-shirt where you go, God's asking me to do this. Your emotions kick off. Your soul man goes, ah! And we go, that can't possibly, God, let's just stop right there. Let's step back and just sit down. Because God wouldn't make us ever, ever walk through the valley, go over any mountains, have any difficulty, ask it to do things that are beyond us. He is sarcastic in what he's saying. And then Nehemiah makes the point, and because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my requests. We have what we need exactly where we are. Do we go to God and say, God, if you can move this, then I could do that. When he's asking you to do it right where you are, right where you are. And Nehemiah went to the king that was in his life at that time and said, I need this from you. Would you give it to me? So the story starts right here and right now. And God dwells in reality, not in fantasy land. Not in that it's all going to be okay and it's all sweet and lovely and there's enough money in the bank and relationships are all good and there's no health issues and it starts right where we are right now. So we can start there, can't we? Where we are right now. He's here. Is your life a mess? Hopefully it's not. If it is, he's right there. Right here and right now. So today's message, which you're going to love, is called Uncomfortable Comfort. Yeah! Uncomfortable Comfort. So this is how my week went. I had so many things to do that I did not want to do. Anybody else got that t-shirt? I mean, I had to drag my soul, to the party. I did not want to do the majority of what was present in my week. Would that be anybody else's week at all ever? Possibly ever? And we should have a chuckle about this, but please don't miss the principle in this. Because if you can take from my week that was slightly frustrating, that my soul man just wanted to go, it's not fair, it's not right, it shouldn't be like this, I should have more sleep, I should have more time, I shouldn't be expected to do everything all the time. Yes, correct. We all sit here, so, yes. If only they could see us, isn't that right? In our moments of our worst, when we are, as Nathan would say, acting like a diva and kicking off. But we're learning to divide between our souls and our spirits, aren't we? We're learning to live a principled life, a life lived on the principles in the Word of God, regardless of the subjective circumstances. So I'm hoping to paint quite a full but maybe slightly ugly picture, that hopefully you can go, huh, maybe it doesn't look like I thought it looked like. Maybe it's a lot more messy than actually I thought it was. It's a life lived in the light of love. Quick plug for the podcasts. We did a series on that. It's all about He loves us. You can only do this stuff if you know that you're loved. If you're sitting there wondering if God loves you, I guarantee you, you will not take the steps that you need to make. You will only take them when you know that you're safe and secure. Whether you're a big, strong man or you're a gentle little lady, you need to know that you are loved and God's not going anywhere. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Does He change? Ever. Does how you feel He is change? That was pathetic. Does it? When you're here, can you catch a little bit of the snippet of the affections of God for you? He likes you, doesn't He? And He enjoys you, and He really loves you, and actually cares way more about the silly little things that are going on in our lives more than we do. Isn't that who He is? But when it hits the Tuesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you've been berated by your fellow colleagues, and things have happened, and it hasn't worked out, at that point, we're probably thinking He's maybe a wee bit away off and slightly frustrated with us. I'm putting this in. Is that your experience? Okay, let me read it again. I, the Lord, do not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And count the good gifts, the wonderful good taste and see, tremendous goodness of the Lord. He's the best. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So what's happening here? What's happening? You gotta. This is so fundamental. So is how you think He thinks about you changing? How you think He thinks about you, is it changing? Is He changing? Hopefully this will get to the point where it's really irritating, okay? Is how you think He thinks about you changing? Why are some of you not agreeing? It's important. You've got to get this. I guarantee that everybody sitting here is not all the time thinking that God's affections for them are complete and whole and He's never going to go away anywhere, because we're all jacked up, most of us, aren't we? So most of the times we go up, and I went into the toilet and work and all of a sudden went, I'm actually feel like I'm dancing around and God's a million miles away. Let's go back. I, the Lord, do not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's no shift in shadows. He's not playing games here. So there's a disconnect. So important that we get this. If we don't get this, you're going to live subjective to the disconnect, and you're going to ride the roller coaster of how you think that He feels about you. Why is this linked to Nehemiah? Because there's no mission that Nehemiah could have got this done if he was insecure about who his God actually was. And some of the commentaries kind of go, Nehemiah was sort of this type of guy who had some insecurities and, you know, wrestled a bit with pain. No, he was human. But he had divided between his soul and his spirit. And we've got to do the same. So we're learning to divide, okay? Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So I dragged my sorry soul along to the party, and I did not want to go. I did not want to do half the things that I had to do this week. Do you ever feel guilty about that? Why do you feel guilty about it? Because do you think that you should want to do all of those things if you were a perfect Christian? What is a perfect Christian? You preach it, Tishy. What's a perfect Christian? A perfect Christian is one who goes, thank you, Jesus. God looks at you as the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid. He looks through the lens of what Jesus did and He sees perfection. So I'm imperfect. I'm loved. Jesus Christ sorted it all out. I am the perfect Christian, and so are you. This is so up the left. We take how we analyze things and we look at it and we go, well, if we could only jump this high and jump this direction and twirl like that person and play like Nathan and say this and do that and oh, Claire Porter, look at Claire. Claire gets up. Well, she's so full of life. She loves a small group. I hate small groups. I hate being around people. I don't like crowds. I'm an introvert. I don't want to go out on a Wednesday night. It's the middle of the week. I'm just about scraping my way through life. No. She's just someone, and we're just people who are learning to divide between her soul and her spirit. So I grabbed my sorry soul, and I dragged it from the place where it wanted to stay, in the middle of the duvet, dragged it out, got it dressed, and hauled its little ass to where it needed to be. Okay? The guilt. Do you experience it? Do you feel like you shouldn't think, you feel like, can't even start all over again. Do you feel like how you think you shouldn't? Do you come to things, feel guilty about it? Oh, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. Do you struggle with that? Sometimes, yeah, that's a good answer. Not all the time. Sometimes I love, absolutely love what I'm supposed to do and called to do. Other times I drag my sorry self to the party. But I don't feel guilty about it because it's just my soul. If you have a 2-year-old in the room, is the 2-year-old going to kick off because it can't get a bun? Do you expect the 2-year-old to do that? Yes. Why are you expecting your soul to be something that it's not? The soul will find its maturity when it's found the leadership of the spirit of the person who's yielded to the spirit of God. So I dragged my sorry soul out of the comfortable duvet and got it to do what it was supposed to do. When I was leaving the business that we had, and it was time for it to finish, and I got this job in Titanic in Belfast, which is where I still am. And it's a great place to work. But the minute that the lady rang me, and I'd put up some hefty requirements if I was going to take the job, which I thought they would say, no way, pal. But she rang me and said, Colin, we really want you and we want to offer you the job. My heart hit the ground like a dart. I went, and I was like, is this God? I don't know. I just feel like, don't want to do this. Oh, am I going to have to say no? And am I going to have to super spiritualize and go, Lord, you will sustain my family. It will be all right if I just sustain, because the vomiting feeling that is within me is from the Spirit. I took myself, my sorry soul, to the changing room and I closed the door and I went, God, what the heck is going on? And what he said really clearly was, you've been damaged from being in the company before and it's all just coming up. Just ignore that and walk on and you'll be all right. And I had a chat with Andrew and Andrew went, look, Colin, from as far as I can see, you owe it to yourself to knock on that door and see what's going to happen. I am so glad that I took that job. And I don't feel like I'm going to throw up every minute of the day when I'm in the place. And the vomiting feelings were nothing to do with what the will of God was. It was my soul came off. Do we do that, don't we? Okay. Now the only difference is I went to him. And actually he answered me so clearly, like I don't get it like that a lot. In fact, it's more word games and like riddles and things for me with God sorting things out. Sometimes he'll speak clearly, but it's not often like that. So it shocked me. In fact, I was like, was that just me? But when I thought about it, it makes total sense. I was really damaged from working for a big corporation before, and I felt sick about that. I didn't want to go back into it. Boy, am I so glad I did. So, feel the fear and do it anyway. What's your alternative? Do you want to live a life shrunk by fear? I appreciate the integrity of those who haven't answered that question. Do you want to live a life shrunk by fear? We've just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. And this is about changing your mind. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Proverbs 3:5 to 7, could any of you quote this off by heart? Trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And try it in this version. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. So we have two children, for those of you who don't know this. The rest of you are like, yes, you do. We have Anna and we have Isaac. And when Isaac get, Anna doesn't so much get hangry. But when Isaac doesn't eat, oh boy, it's like batten down the hatches. It's just, I need food. Have we got any hangries in the room? As some of the husbands are going, yes, we do. It's very difficult. Isaac then hits the point where he's so hungry and so frustrated that he actually doesn't want to eat. You know when you get to the state of tiredness where you're so tired that you can't actually sleep? And we have to negotiate and it's like, you're like, oh, he's coming 7, the blinking airplane's not going to work anymore. How do I get him? I'm like, do you want mint sauce in that, son? Would you take it with clobber and mint sauce? Will you eat it? And he goes, yes, I will. And it's like the reverse of the Kevin and Perry. You familiar with Kevin and Perry? Kevin and Perry was a teenager that Harry Enfield did. At 12, he was like, hello, mother and father, I love you. What can I do to serve you? And then it was his 13th birthday, he went, everything's not fair. I don't like it anymore. Get that food into Isaac's mouth and he's like, ba-ding! He's there and he's alive. But if he stays in that place, he won't eat and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Could I paint you a better picture of the soul? The soul thinks it knows what it needs and what it wants. But actually left to its own devices, it'll get so far past itself that when the very sustenance that is in front of it, it'll refuse it. The soul refuses to do the thing that will comfort it. So don't let your soul be an obstacle to dam up the flow of the Spirit in your life. So Isaac's in Kingdom Kids right now. He's still alive because we managed to get him to eat. How did we manage to get him to eat?
Mint sauce.
Mint sauce. Yeah, that's a fair answer. It wasn't what I was going for, but we parented him. I'm sitting beside him. Claire's sitting in front of me. Have to say, Claire's really good at the, well, okay, son, and, you know, maybe we consider this and maybe do that. I just want to go, just eat! Just eat the food! Pin him down, grab him, prise open his mouth and go, eat the food! And then hold his nose so he swallows it. Whereas Claire will go like this. Okay, love. That's my cue. Shut up, Colin. Let me do this. And I go, maybe, son, do you want to go around and see your mummy? I'm learning that that really, really works. He's still alive because we've parented him. So what are you going to do with your soul? How do you kill the dominance of the soul? In the case of Isaac, I'm right beside him. His mum's just across from the table. Anna can be wonderful at times. She's like, oh, this is really good, Isaac. Let's try it. That can work sometimes. Sometimes it's just his sister and she spoke and he wants to kill her. Let me read this. This is Hebrews 12:9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? So God wants to father us. As we yield ourselves to Him and our spirits, then we can bring leadership to our soul and we can drag our sorry soul to the party to do what it needs to do. And the key in this is relationship. So last week, dragging my sorry soul, then the middle of the week, why am I sniffing so much? Because I got a stinking cold. It was like, oh, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Not even, it's ridiculous. Just for the purposes of doing a podcast, I'll blow my nose. It's awful. Like, some ways when you have something worse, you can stop your life and lie on the sofa and just watch morning TV. But when you have a cold, you have to drag your sorry self out of bed and go to work anyway because it's not big enough excuse to stop. It's not right. It's just, colds suck. I don't enjoy them. They're not enjoyable. And worst of all, I had this thing that I wasn't allowed to tell anybody that I was starting to get the cold. Oh, it was one of those weeks. And I did keep my mouth shut. Do you know why? Because I knew that it was supposed to go to God. And I also knew that if I opened my little cheaper, that I would start to moan and I wouldn't stop. And any comfort and sympathy that I would get from anybody else would just serve to fatten up my soul and I would feel all the worse and I just knew I needed to stay quiet. So I kept my mouth shut. Now, if you're really sick, you need to tell somebody and you need to get rest and all those things. But I wasn't in that place. So that was the really irritating squeaky wheel on the road of my already sorry week that I had to drag my sorry soul to the party that it did not want to go to. So I kept my mouth shut. Because because I realized, as I said, that it would be like giving a two-year-old E-numbers. And if I gave my two-year-old E-numbers, it would bounce off the wall and it would be horrific. So I just kept the soul quiet and I got on with it. In fact, there was a beautiful moment where Claire said to me, "Love, are you getting the cold?" And I went, dragging my sorry self to the party. I realized that if I sought the immediate satisfaction of the soul, it wouldn't solve the problem. It would only ultimately increase it. I needed comfort and I needed to go to God. And he really, really cares about me because he doesn't change, does he? Whether I'm feeling whatever, he doesn't change. So I lay hold of him. What it resulted in was that the mission wasn't thwarted and the nature of my personality didn't get to play in what could happen in the week. Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. The soul gets a bad rap. You may think that I'm saying that the soul's just stupid and it just has no place. It is a very important place. It's how we interact in the world. But as we yield ourselves in following the shepherd of Jesus Christ, our souls get restored in the process. Now, we could get tempted in all this to give up, couldn't we? Just can't be bothered. What's the point? Sure, I've hit this age. Nothing's ever going to change. Doesn't seem like it's getting any better. And last night, I opened the toilet door and managed to smack myself on the nose and only what could be, like, it was like a punch. I couldn't believe it. It was like, oh, this week is one of the sorriest weeks I have ever experienced in my life. And Claire said, "Are you bleeding, love?" And I was like, "Yes, my sweet, I do believe that I am." Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Matthew 7:13. Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. We are called to integrity, and integrity sometimes hurts. I have my responsibilities. I have a faithful God, and I'm loved, and I want to lead a principled life. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, he being Jesus Christ, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There was plenty of that in this sorry ass week that I had. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, let this slap you about, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Did that slap you about a little bit? Can I slap you again? Yes, please. Remember hearing Billy Connolly say, his father used to say, "Do you want some more of this?" And he said, "Would a kick be possible, Father?" Let me read it again, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Is that really true? The only way to find out is apply it. Nehemiah. And I'm nearly finished. So as I was prepping this, this was the whole, it's like any message series, as you get into it, you realize how big and important it actually is. Nehemiah means God comforts. Right? Nehemiah's journey was absolutely uncomfortable. The Hebrew word nekama, I think it's nekama, this is from the Jerusalem prayer team. I found this in Google. It's amazing what you'll find. The Hebrew word nekama is very unique. If you break its letters down, you'll receive two overlapping words. Noah, meaning comfortable and resting, and kam or kama, meaning warm. Even the first word attests to the Hebrew origin of the English word comfort. Nekama is then an offer of rest and easement to a troubled, suffering soul. Comfort, indeed, is best induced by warmth and restful conditions. To bring about God's comfort, we've got to get uncomfortable. I don't like it any more than you do. I like the fruit that it produces. The only way we'll get uncomfortable is a vision of something better than our current experience is. And we ask God for comfort, and comfort comes, but we don't recognize him because he asks us to get uncomfortable and walk into hassle and discomfort. God's comfort is beyond your comfort zone. Jesus Christ invites you to bring his comfort to a hurting world. And I prophesy to you, and please mark my words, you'll experience comfort you didn't even know was possible. But to get there, you've got to get uncomfortable. Can I get you guys to come up? So here's the question. Are you sitting on the fence or are you building the wall? Can I get you to stand with me? This is a call from what we have lived to, which is really my life is dependent on what's happening in my life. And the shift that we are making, and I really, it seems so obvious to me that this is what the Spirit wants to do with us. We are called to live a life on a plane that is a principled life by one who does not change. Therefore, the constant person that He is means we become constant people in an ever-changing world. And because of that, the circumstances of that world then start to yield themselves to us. Why on earth did Peter get out of the boat? He was a seasoned fisherman, and Jesus Christ called to him from the waters, which was against his experience and what he understood, and called him out to walk on the water. And it was because of relationship. I want to tell you, and this is hard to hear, Jesus Christ is standing in a place and calling you to be with him on circumstances that you are confident you're going to sink in. So what are you going to do? The comfort that we need is not to be found in our circumstances. The comfort that we need is found in him. Nehemiah became his name, which was the God who comforts, because he yielded to the God who comforted. So as always, I've got some questions to help you to respond. Do you want to live a principled life based on the Word of God? And the second question, are you struggling with your soul? And then finally, do you want to get off the fence and build the wall? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, or you simply want ministry, please come and join me now at the front.
You've been listening to Destination Church Belfast's weekly podcast. For more information on our church, you can find us on the web on www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. Thank you for listening.